Last day of the conference, last session. So we will promise that we will keep it short and precise. So my name is Amrit Sarkar. I'm working as search engineer at Lucidworks. I have 3+ years experience in search, both in e-commerce and product. And I'm also an active Apache Solar and Lucene contributor. I have with me Rohit.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Rohit Singh. I work as an engineer at Lucidworks in search domain with focus on Apache Solar and Lucidworks Fusion.
A bit about Lucidworks. We are a search enterprise company based out of San Francisco. We have offices all over the world. We have customers who are part of Fortune 1000. We have a product, Lucidworks Fusion, built on top of Solar, which drives search applications. And we also provide consulting and support organizations who are using Solar as their support or analytics technology. So we'll start the discussion with introducing Apache Solar. There was a session from Alexander regarding the speed dating from content to search on Apache Solar. I hope everyone is familiar with it. Otherwise, we will have just a couple of slides on it. We will see the motivation behind building the feature cross data center replication in Apache Solar. So Solar is the only open source search engine under Apache or outside Apache who has an inbuilt disaster recovery strategy. We will see the disaster recovery strategy is already available in the Solar itself. We will then keep a peek into the feature, CDCR. We have tried to put this more like an introduction than going into intrinsics of it, but please reach out to us if you want to ask questions. We will then have a quick 5 to 6 minute demonstration on Apache Zeppelin application. We have built a small analytics application and we'll see how we can leverage CDCR before listing out the limitations and the forthcoming improvements in the later versions. So Apache Solar. So Apache Solar is an open source search engine built on top of Apache Lucene library. So basically it is fault tolerant. We have provide number of features like spellings, autocomplete, highlighting, suggesters. There are some advanced features like learning to rank, which leverages machine learning algorithms. And obviously it has CDCR, the cross data center application, as a failover strategy. So Solar Cloud is the distributed search mode of Apache Solar. We have Apache Zookeeper, which acts as the centralized service for maintaining the configurations and the cluster state information. So in a Solar Cloud mode, a lot of Solar instances talk to each other, host data. So each core is represented as a single Solar instance, which represents the single Solar index. A collection is essentially a collection of cores. We group them together and which depicts a logical index, a logical slice, a logical piece of information. This collection can then further be divided into logical pieces and slices called shards. And then each shard will have multiple copies which will actually reside on the servers. We call them as replicas. This is a typical Solar Cloud collection representation. We have two shards here, A and B. Each shard has two replicas, out of which one of the replicas will act as a leader replica, whose responsibility will be to receive the updates from the HTTP endpoint and forward it to its own followers. So disaster can not necessarily be a natural event. It can be man-made. It can be a malicious attack like DDoS distribution, distributed denial of service, or can be due to I/O contention or CPU contention, your disk crash, which will lead to huge loss of information. Now, a single day of downtime of any of data or information to your end client can lead to huge financial losses. Not every company can afford a reliable disaster recovery strategy. It involves a lot of human effort, infrastructure, and all. Economy is a challenge. Maintaining a hot standby, that is a backup cluster or a backup instance, which will be live to your or will serve the live request within minutes of hours of a downtime, is a costly affair. And even if you have adopted a recovery strategy, it should be reliable, it should be optimized, it should be revisited regularly so that you can keep up with the pace with the traffic. Right, we have already talked about this slide. So let's look at the disaster recovery strategies already available in Apache Solar. So first of all, you can index the documents or updates into two different instances at same point of the time using any messaging service like Apache Kafka. Now it involves custom development from your own end. You have to maintain that Apache Kafka cluster or any other messaging service you are using. And there is no guarantee that both the clusters are identical. Even if one of the clusters goes down, face any errors or exceptions, you have to do the manual check of comparing those clusters, whether they're in sync or not, and perform necessary action to get them in the same state. Next, we have disk mirroring. So you can take the entire backup of the secondary storage of a particular server, host it somewhere else, which will then serve the live traffic. Now, if that copy, when you're doing this disk mirroring, if any kind of failure happens or any abrupt event takes into place, there is a very good chance that your entire index, the data folder of the Solr, gets corrupted. Next, you can just take the regular backups of the Solr index itself, the data directories, right? You need to store those directories outside of the primary server to a secondary server. Now, making it up and serving it to the live traffic involves a lot of human effort again. And the last, we have the backup API, which is a Solr collection level API already available. It takes the backup of the entire data along with the configurations. Now, this is a good option and a reliable option, but it is a little prone to failure when very heavy indexing is going on, because there is already a write operation going on your servers, and you're performing a copy on top of it. So next, I would like to invite Rohit, who will take us through the Cross Data Center application.
Thanks, Amrit. So now that we have a brief idea about Solr Cloud and the disaster recovery strategies which are out there, let's have a look at Cross Data Center application in Apache Solr. So CDCR was first introduced in Solr version 6.0. At a very high level, CDCR in Solr is about forwarding updates and actions to secondary cluster, with the ability to track replication and also see the status like health and the amount of data which is being passed over during the CDCR process. CDCR in Solr comes in two flavors. Basically, the unidirectional approach, which is the active-passive approach, and we also have a bidirectional flavor. We will look at both these approaches in detail. CDCR in Solr happens at collection level, where the data is replicated, but the configurations are not. The APIs for CDCR are extremely well documented and are very common ones. Say, like there is an API to start the process, stop the process, or check the current status of the process. So let's look at CDCR unidirectional approach. So basically here you have something called the source data center and the target data center. Again, this happens at a collection level. So each collection consists of shards. Generally, we try to make the setup symmetric on the source and the target data center. So each shard has a replica and a leader. Now in this unidirectional approach, basically it's the responsibility of the leader on the source data center for that shard to push that particular update to the leader on the target data center for that particular shard. So if you're familiar with Solr, all the configuration for a cluster resides in ZooKeeper in a file called solrconfig.xml. So if you see here on the source collection, you have this parameter called zkhost, where you specify the ZooKeeper IP and the port of the target cluster, along with the source and target collection names. Generally, we try to keep symmetry across source and target setup, so most of the cases you will find them to be same, but this is not a mandation. Solr is capable of talking to the ZooKeeper on the target cluster, identifying the cluster layout, talking to the leaders, and then pushing the update from the source to the target cluster. So let's look at CDCR concept little under the hood over here. So as you can see again, right, this is a shard with two replicas and a leader. This is a source cluster. Again, you have two replicas and a leader on the target cluster, right? So it is the responsibility of the leader on the source cluster to basically batch these documents, right, and push it across from the source to the target. So whenever these documents are batched together, we have something called a checkpoint, which is unique per batch of the document being indexed from source to the target cluster. The checkpoint value, also called underlying, is something called underscore version underscore field, which is based on the system clock. On the source cluster, this is maintained as an ephemeral node in ZooKeeper, while on the target, it is maintained as a permanent node on the ZooKeeper for that particular cluster. So this is some extra information. So every document in Solr has this field, versioning field. The version field of the last document per batch is used as the checkpoint field in CDCR. So transaction logs for CDCR are treated as items in a queue where the updates are to be pushed. On the target cluster, we rely on the underlying Solr cloud mechanism to ensure that the updates are forwarded to the leaders, from the leaders to the replicas, so that everything on the source and the target are in sync. CDCR consists of two major components. First is the initial sync phase, and other is the replication phase. So initial sync phase consists of something called buffering and bootstrapping. While they are in sync, we use something called the replicator thread to replicate, and we use update log synchronizer to make sure that the synchronization is in place. We'll cover all these topics in further details, right? So what is basically CDCR initial synchronization? So updates are preserved at the source cluster when the target cluster is not available. So this can happen when either your target cluster is not created or it's not live, that you don't have any active nodes to basically receive the updates from the source to the target. So what is initial synchronization, right? It is synchronizing data to the target cluster when CDCR is first started or is resumed, and it is achieved either via buffering or via bootstrapping. So this is something about CDCR buffer. Again, the buffering configuration goes in the solrconfig.xml. When you define the request handler, in this case, it would be CDCR request handler. References to updates will be kept in memory, right, if the default state for buffer is enabled. Once the source and the target clusters are in sync, we advise you to disable buffering. We have two APIs exposed in Solr, right? You can call upon this request handler and enable and disable it. So let's have a look at some CDCR bootstrapping process. So here you have the source data center and the target data center, right? So when you first start the bootstrap process, the source leader on the source data center for that particular shard requests the leader on the target shard for the particular checkpoint. The target responds by sending an ACK and the current checkpoint value. If the source sees that the checkpoint value is less than zero, it triggers something called bootstrapping. In bootstrapping, what we do is that the data directory of the leader core for each shard at the source cluster is copied to the leader on the target shard. So while this process is happening, if you have a large index, it might take some time. Behind the scenes, we request something called a bootstrap status at regular interval to check with the target leader whether the process has been completed or not. Once the bootstrap is completed, that is, your source data is completely copied to the target cluster, we trigger something called request recovery, where the replicas on the target cluster request their leader for the data. So this way, we ensure that the entire shard from the source to the target, everything is in sync. So just as a caveat, so index copying is a single-threaded process. So if you have really large indexes spanning on higher end of gigabyte, it might take some time. We also have an implicit API to trigger bootstrap manually, but it is more of an expert-level API. Solr takes care of doing that implicitly. So use it only if there is a particular need for this.
So buffering while that's happening? While you're bootstrapping, are you buffering on the source side?
No. While we are doing bootstrapping, we are not buffering on the source side.
But you might have updates.
Yes, so that is...
So actually, you like figured it out. So when we are doing the bootstrapping, if the new updates are getting received, they will be getting to the buffer. Once the bootstrap completes, the buffer will trigger. It will empty itself, and all those updates will be sent to the target. Yes. Yeah, so apart from the core components in CDCR, we have some supporting components too, which make sure that all the other components are aware about the cluster state information. We have something called state managers, which keeps tab on zookeeper nodes. We have the process state manager, which keeps tab on CDCR state. On the left top corner, you can see process started, buffer disabled. If we hit an API, make any changes, stop the process, or maybe enable the buffer, all the respective components will be informed by this state manager. Next, we have the leader state manager, which keeps tab on state.json. So state.json contains the information of the cluster level information of the particular collection. In this case, the collection name is CityBike, how many shards are there, how many replicas are there, which server is exactly hosting which particular replica, which replica is leader, which is not, everything is explained on the state.json. If any of the leader of a particular shard at source or at target changes, right, the leader state manager will inform the rest of the components. So we are done discussing the initial synchronization phase of cross-data center replication. Move on to the replication part, when both the clusters are in sync and more updates are received at source. So in the left top corner, as Rohit explained, that the leader of shards are contact with each other. So this operation happens parallelly among the shards. This will happen asynchronously in a parallel mode. On the left bottom corner, we have specified the replicator configuration, the thread pool size, schedule, and batch size. By default, X number of threads will be spawned at source, and that X will be the number of shards at the source. If you want to keep the threads higher, if you want faster replication, or maybe make it a bit slower because it's resource instance intensive, you get the thread pool size accordingly that. Next, we have the schedule and batch size. So peeking into how each shard talk to each other, so in this case, we have specified the batch size to be 128. So the batch size of 128 will be sent from the leader at the shard 1 to the leader at the shard 1 at the target. If that particular update operation is not successful or connection is broken, there is an exception, the same batch will be resent indefinitely until a successful acknowledgement has been received. Once we receive that acknowledgement, it will also contain the checkpoint value, so that they both know that, okay, until this point of the time, the updates are sent. After the scheduled time T, in this case, we have 1000 milliseconds, 1 second, the next 128 batch will be sent, and the same checks will be done. So cross-data center replication is a disaster recovery mechanism. The primary features of a search engine is support heavy indexing and heavy querying. If the source has received 1000 documents, it will require 6 to 7 seconds when we have the batch size 128 to send from source to the target. There will be a bit of a latency. We have kept this in design such that cross-data center replication does not overwhelm the primary features of a search engine. Now, let's forget about the target and just focus on the source. Each replica and core at the source should be aware about the checkpoint of a respective target, right? Now, in this CDCR design, we have only enabled the communication between the leader nodes. So when a leader node at the source goes down, the newly elected leader, whatever course comes up, should know from which exact point it has to start that replication. Update log synchronizer tells all the non-leaders to ask for that checkpoint at regular intervals. In this case, we have specified it as 60,000 milliseconds, that is 1 minute. Whenever the newly elected leader comes up, it will see its own checkpoint and will start the forwarding of the updates from there. There is a good chance that some of the updates will be repeated, but there is absolutely guaranteed that no updates will be missed. Another supporting component, we have update processor factory. In a normal solar cloud mode in a collection, every update received is being appended with a version. Now, if we want to keep a synchronization between the version between source and target, we really don't want to override that version when an update is forwarded from the source. CDCR update processor factory skips that override of that version at the target so that the checkpoint is synchronized. So we are done with discussing the components of cross-data center replication and move on to the monitoring APIs available. We have the first API as queues, which is tells us that how many updates a target is behind a source at that point of the time. Also, it will specify the last timestamp a successful operation was executed. For this talk, we have abstracted the significance of transition logs of how exactly it is being used in CDCR, but the queues API provides that information too, that the size of the transaction logs at the source, how many are there in the total count. Also the update log synchronizer state, whether it is running or stop. The next API we have is operations. So it provides the average number of operations executed per second at a certain target. And those operations are then further be categorized into adds and deletes so that you can see the performance and analyze that. Next, we have errors API, which provides cumulative and consecutive errors happening at a certain target. Those errors will then further be categorized into internal server errors, bad requests, and everything. If you see a number of consecutive errors happening, it is best to disable CDCR at point of the time, do a basic diagnosis at the target, fix the problems, and then resume the replication process. Now, Rohit will get us through the bidirectional approach.
So we have already seen the CDCR unidirectional approach, right? In the unidirectional scenario, indexing can be done only at one data center, which is termed as the source or acts as primary. The target data center always acts as secondary and is only available for querying. No active indexing can be done on the target. Since Solr version 7.2, bidirectional support was introduced. Now with 7.2, updates can be sent to either of the clusters. There is no source or no target. So this is basically at a very high level how the bidirectional approach looks like. So you see now there are no source or target clusters, but they are just clusters. So you have cluster 1 and cluster 2. Again, this occurs at collection level. So you have shards and you have replicas in the collection, in the shard. So this shard has a replica and a leader. The leader batches and forwards the update to the leader on the cluster 2. Similarly, now in the bidirectional approach, the leader on the other cluster can as well batch and forward updates to the leader for this particular shard. So basically, each leader is capable of forwarding updates to each other. So this is basically the bidirectional approach. In terms of configuration, again, we are relying on the implicitly available solrconfig.xml, which is stored in ZooKeeper. So compared to the older approach, the only addition here is that the new cluster also has information about the other clusters, ZooKeeper, and the port number, right? You also specify the collection. So at this point of time, Solr is capable of talking to the ZooKeeper ensemble on the either clusters and identifying the layout, right? And forwarding the updates to the correct leaders for each shard. So what is the difference in the update strategy in the unidirectional and the bidirectional approach? Let's have a look at that. So in unidirectional approach, you have your update payload, which is indexed to the source, and it is the responsibility of the source to forward this to the target, right? So in bidirectional approach, in addition to the update payload, you also have something of a flag, which by default is set as false. The flag is called ECDCR. When the payload is indexed to the cluster 1, it is the responsibility of cluster 1 to update this flag. It sets it as ECDCR equal to true. It then forwards this updated payload with the updated flag to the cluster 2. By examining this flag, cluster 2 knows that it's a CDCR update and it decides not to forward this update any further. We can also build upon the bidirectional approach and you can have multiple Solr clusters, right, where each cluster is capable of talking to each other. We have people in production who are trying to leverage this. So what are the advantages of this approach compared to the unidirectional approach, right? So at this point of time, you don't have any target or source. It's completely decentralized. There is no single point of failure anymore. You have multiple clusters to query or index to. Indexing can be redirected to failover clusters swiftly without much human effort. So this is provided by Solr CDCR. Also, overall traffic can be distributed to multiple data centers based on their geographic location to avoid network delay. Now, when we talk about this point, you have to understand that if your data centers are spread across different availability zones, there is some implicit network latency, but otherwise the update happens more or less in real time, right? So enough of talk. I think now it's time for some demo. Let's have a look at the demo. So what we are using for the demo is basically Apache Zeppelin for the dashboarding stuff, where it will be talking to Solr. Okay, so here we have configured Solr cluster 1. We have two clusters, cluster 1 and cluster 2 on AWS. Right. So this Zeppelin is talking to cluster 1. We have a single collection called CityBike, which is single shard and has a replica. So as of this moment, this collection doesn't have any documents at all. This is the configuration for this cluster 1. As you see, it has the IP and the port for the cluster 2 zookeeper and the name of the collection. This is the cluster 2, again, same collection name, no documents as of now. So again, this has another CDCR configuration. This points to cluster 2, cluster 1. So cluster 2 zookeeper configuration points to cluster 1. CDCR is disabled. Right. So let's see. So what we are trying to do is that we are trying to index some documents to cluster 1. So we have indexed close to 80,000 documents on cluster 1. Right. You can easily build dashboards in Zeppelin by querying Solr directly. So again, you can fire a simple Solr query as well to verify the number of documents and the documents which have been indexed. At this point, Solr cluster 2 doesn't have any documents. So what we are going to do here is that we are going to start CDCR on cluster 1. This step is what we call as bootstrapping. Right? So now you can see on cluster 2, 80,000 documents which were there in cluster 1 have been replicated to cluster 2 in real time. So once CDCR has started, we are going to index some more documents while CDCR is in action. So we have indexed another 80,000 documents, so this takes the count to 160,000 documents. So cluster 1 has 160,000 documents, and as CDCR is in action, you can see the update happening. Both the clusters are in sync, and it also gets the additional 80,000 documents. So now we are going to start CDCR on cluster 2 as well. So basically, this is the bidirectional approach, where each component can replicate to the other cluster. So now what we are going to do is that we are going to kill cluster 1. So this is more of a disaster recovery kind of scenario, where your cluster goes down, your data center goes down or something like that. So now we are trying to query the cluster 1. Right? Eventually this request should fail since we have already stopped cluster 1. Yeah. So as you can see, you cannot query cluster 1 anymore. So let's take a real scenario where once your cluster goes down, one of your data center goes down, you can redirect your traffic to cluster 2 and you should be good to serve or index the data on that new cluster. So now this data is being served from your cluster 2, right? It is as seamless as that. So now we are indexing some documents on cluster 2, right? So again, we have added few more documents. We can verify the same by firing query directly to Solr. At this point, your cluster 1 is still dead. So now we'll try to bring up cluster 1. And since CDCR is already set up in a bidirectional mode, cluster 2 should be able to index the remaining documents or the delta of the documents to cluster 1, and they should eventually come in sync with least possible human intervention. So this is the old number, and in a while both should have the same number of documents. Yeah, so again, now CDCR on cluster 2 made sure like the cluster 1 has the same number of documents and everything is in sync. So in this case, we are basically using Zeppelin to give it a demo, but in real time, right, you always have a load balancer which keeps pinging your clusters to check whether it's alive or not. So you can either distribute your traffic across the two clusters, or if a cluster is down, just redirect the entire traffic. So we have clients who are using such mechanisms. It's totally possible.
So that was all about the demonstration. The experience is absolutely seamless. We have taken small indexes, small documents, but you can just have big documents with GBs and GBs of data with millions and millions of record, and they all get synced to each other almost in real time. Any other feature, cross data center application has some limitations. All the CDCR specific properties must be defined in the solarconfig.xml at the time of solar collection creation. Now, a non-CDCR collection cannot typically be converted to a CDCR collection. You need to do the data synchronization manually if you have not configured those properties in SolarConfig before, which is a bit of a pain. Next, if you need to modify or update any attributes specific to CDCR, you need to reload your entire solar collection. Now, if a live indexing is going on or your querying is going on, you really don't want to do a full reload just to change a batch size. Rohit explained about the bootstrap process, and it is a single-threaded process. And if your index is large in GBs, in petabytes, it can take a significant amount of time. We have clients or users who has seen hours to days to have that bootstrap process happening. And last, the Solar Cloud as of today supports three types of replicas: NRT, near real time, transaction and pull, out of which CDCR is only supported with near real time data. Replica. It is a work in progress and a number of improvements forthcoming in future releases. The specific Solar Jiras have been mentioned: 8389, 12071, 12057. All the CDCR specific configurations will be moved from solarconfig.xml to Zookeeper node under cdcrconfig.json. It will be collection specific. New collection level APIs will be introduced, like reload CDCR, modify CDCR, so that you don't need to reload rest of your components to make a small change. And the support for transaction and pull type replicas will be added. Right. So cross data center application is entirely independent from any of the features. You can use data import handler, you can use Tika process, REST API, HTTP processors, anything. So this CDCR process is absolutely intrinsic within the feature. Whatever you data fetch from outside, from any external data source, CDCR responsibility is to forward that in exact same manner to the other cluster.
Okay, so that would be your own choice.
Yes.
But for most part, like, people use it as it is. It should not affect. You can absolutely do that.
Yes. All the demonstrated related materials, all the shell scripts, the configuration, the Zeppelin configurations, the actual data is all uploaded and available under Sarkar Amrit 2 CDCR talk GitHub handle. We have also mentioned there, if you are new to Solar and trying out Solar Cloud, what is transition logs, the types of replicas available. And we have also mentioned the relevant talks on this particular module from last 2 years in other conferences. And that's it from us. Thank you so much for being here. And if you have some questions, we would like to hear. Yes.
So, let's say that I have a bandwidth quota that I have to adhere to, so I can't exceed, say, 20 megabits or something like that, right? is there any features that I have to call? Maybe work with REST data that's going between the data centers so that I don't exceed my quotas?
Yeah, that is a good question, actually. So let us suppose your document is of size in KBs. It would be in 1 to 2 KB depending on the document size. Unfortunately, as of now, the entire document is sent as it is without any compression. It's a good point. We can take it into consideration if there is any real usage. Yeah.
So we are also experimenting with HTTP2. Right. For CDCR, we are relying again on the implicit features which are available in Solr. We are working on something called QoS or quality of service, right? So once that goes into production or as a feature in Solr, I think throttling and back pressure handling would also be taken care of automatically.
There are, you know, like some stream compression algorithms like Snappy, for example.
Yes.
That would probably be for that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we are using Java bin binary protocol anyways.
We are using Java bin binary protocol as of now. Yes. Yeah, so actually cross data center replication is collection specific. It's not cluster specific. So you configure collection to collection.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically, yeah.
Let's stick to the first one.
First slide. Yeah. Just any one of them. The bidirectional approach is fine. So. Yeah, so it's audit logs at cluster one is synced with audit logs at cluster two. So you have to do that. And obviously, like the name nomenclature can be different.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is when we say data center, we should have just because of keeping the we should have changed from the source collection to the target collection. It's this particular block is representing a collection only, a single collection.
It's collection specific.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here again, and have a nice weekend. Thank you.